Labor and Commerce now come to order. It's 3:06. With us, we have Representative Gardner, Representative Booth, Representative Gatto, Representative Newman, and myself, Kurt Olson. The only bill we got coming up today is House Bill 170. It appears to be relatively non-controversial, and I think with any luck at all, we'll probably be rolling it out today. If that's the desire of Ms. Hall, please join us. We could take 3 days if you want.
Special subcommittee.
Which 3 days would you be thinking of?
Friday, Saturday,
they
Sunday.
They might be months apart.
Where? Could you state your name and affiliation for the record, please?
Linda Hall, Director of the Division of Insurance. I have been before this committee with this bill. I really have very little to add other than the comments I made at the first hearing, where I think I went through this in some detail. I would like to say for the record that some of the domestic insurance companies that we regulate had some concerns about the bill, and I had a meeting with four of them on Monday, and we talked about some of the provisions, and generally I think we're all in agreement that some of these are currently required. They're just required in a different way, as I pointed out to you earlier. And they have suggested some language changes in a few areas that I have agreed to look at. I don't want anything to be any more onerous than it needs to be for the companies we regulate, but I am particularly interested in adopting authority in statute to adopt the regulations we need to maintain our accreditation. That's very important to me, and I think it's important to the insurance companies we regulate and to our consumers. So with that, I will stop, and I will be happy to answer any questions.
I'd like it to be noted, too, that I've been contacted by several of the insurers, and they're very appreciative of the fact that you're working with them on this, and it's a work in progress, and there'll probably be some work done between when it moves out here and before it's heard in finance. And we've been joined by Representative Ledoux, and I believe Representative Newman has a question for you.
I have no question, just comments. Good work, Ms. Hall.
Thank you.
Again.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr.
Representative Booth.
Director Hall, your requirements in statute, is it just a matter of basically stating that you need this language in regulation? Is it just a matter of sort of a housekeeping requirement that you're looking for?
Through the chair, Representative Book, I don't think, I would not characterize it that way. There are some new things in sections two, particularly. There are some of these provisions that are currently adopted in our statutes that merely say the insurers must follow the audit instructions on the annual statement. And that those instructions are going away in 2009. So we have added what we think is minimum statutory language to give us the authority to adopt the NAIC model regulation that reiterates those things that are already requirements. There are two, I don't want to understate that, maybe three. There are two major new things that are also NAIC models that are not yet accreditation standards, but they're in that process. One of those is a requirement for an audit committee, and an insurer may either actually adopt an actual audit committee, or the entire board may function as an audit committee. There are also some requirements that there is a management report of internal controls. In the regulations that would be proposed to be adopted, there are some standards for outside, what are termed, I think, in the business world, outside directors, but independent directors, and some requirements if an insurance company meets certain thresholds. The first threshold is $300 million in premium, and the second threshold is $500 million. And depending upon which threshold you exceed, you would have a certain number of outside directors. None of the Alaska domestic insurance companies reach either of those thresholds. In fact, nationally, there are only 179 non-public companies that actually reach those thresholds. So the language really does not change what they're currently doing in that respect, because they wouldn't, the restrictions wouldn't apply to them.
Okay. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Representative Gatto.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On line, H2, line 14, the word may require. The word require is the only thing I'm curious about. And I'm going to compare that to page 3, line 31, where we've now used the word in order to replace a directive. So we have require, order, and directive. We've deleted directive. Is an order different than a directive?
Through the chair, Representative Gatto, we don't define order. Pardon me. We don't define directive in statute.
I see.
Our typical process is to issue an order, and we have a process to do that. It's defined in statute. Directive is not. That was the reason for that change. The may require language is only under when we adopt regulations. There will be certain circumstances, mostly related to insolvency or increased risk of financial impairment, that we would then require the kind of internal control report from management. Does the language now say good cause? Is that the piece we're on? I'm sorry, I lost the line, Representative.
It is for page two, line 14.
That is one of the places that we are talking about making some change in language, because we also don't define for good cause. So we are working with industry to change that language.
No further questions? We've got two people in the audience that wish to testify. Thanks, Ms. Hall. And first would be Max Mertz. Please join us.
Thank you. My name is Max Mertz, and I live here in Juneau, Alaska. Mm-hmm. I'm a CPA and a partner in the accounting firm of LG Rayfeld Mertz here in Juneau, and I have been a CPA since 1989 and in Alaska since 1992. I'm also the chair of the Board of Public Accountancy in the state. I'm not here representing the board, however, as the board has not had an opportunity to discuss this matter. I have discussed the matter, however, with some of the members of the board of the Alaska Society of CPAs, and feel comfortable in saying that they share my views and I theirs. We're concerned about some of the language in HB 170, specifically section 21.09.195, which is page 1's line 9 through 12, which calls for registration of CPA firms. I believe this wording should be deleted. The Board of Accountancy regulates CPAs and CPA firms in Alaska. All CPAs are required to be licensed and are subject to the Accountancy Act in Alaska and associated regulations. CPAs are also required to maintain good standing with the AICPA and conform to the standards of the profession as contained in the AICPA's Code of Professional Ethics. Together, the Alaskan Accountancy Act and regulations and the Code of Professional Conduct require that CPAs who perform audits of entities undergo a regular peer review and maintain a system of quality controls. Part of the maintenance of a system of quality controls is that a CPA maintain a level of competence in any industry that he or she audits. This would include the insurance industry. As a result of this, I feel the existing regulatory infrastructure of CPAs is sufficient to ensure adequate protection of the public, and another tier of regulation is not needed. This is what I believe is referred to in that language of that section currently. For the past 2 years or so, the AICPA and the National Association of Insurance Commissioners have been working on model rules that are to go in effect in 2010 that govern the joint issues concerning CPAs and insurance commissioners. Those model rules stipulate qualifications for CPAs who perform the audits of insurers and provide guidance to insurance commissioners for recognizing CPAs as qualified. I believe that the language of HB 170 should be changed to allow for the model rules to be implemented in Alaska once they're completed. I do have copies of them if you're interested in seeing those, and that concludes my testimony. Thank you very much.
Have you shared your concerns with Ms. Hall prior to this testimony?
No, sir, I haven't. I honestly found out about this yesterday. It was actually brought to the State Society's attention and brought to me. So unfortunately, I haven't.
I'll be asking Ms. Hall about it, but I would venture to guess that her answer is going to be that this is a NAIC model language, would be my gut feeling. But do you have a question for Mr. Mertz?
I don't think.
Thank you, Mr. Mertz.
Thank you.
Next up would be,
I'm here.
Officially, we've been joined by Representative Jay Ramirez at 317. John George, please join us.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is John George. I'm here representing the American Council of Life Insurers, and just want to say we fully support this this bill. It was not done in a vacuum. It was done at the NAIC by all the insurance commissioners with significant input from the life insurance industry. We believe this adds credibility to the solvency of the insurance industry, and we think it's a great thing. So wholeheartedly support it. Thank you.
Yeah, and in a different capacity, Mr. George was also director of the Division of Insurance for a number of years and served the state well in that capacity.
Thank you.
No questions? Ms. Hall, we had a, I guess we have one more question for you. Is, please join us.
Hello, Mrs. Hall.
Representative Rams, hello. I would respond to the question about Section 1 and CPAs. It's not the first time one of our domestic insurers raised the same question. The term register is currently used, as I've referenced with you, as I've explained the bill. It's currently already used in the annual statement instructions, which is where all of the audit standards are referenced. We have the requirement already. This is not a new requirement, and I would say that what our intent is with this enabling language will be to adopt the model NAIC rule, and that does set out the various qualifications, and they are fairly extensive. The one piece that I would add to that is while there may be a number of requirements for CPA firms that do audits, we don't have any statutory authority or any oversight of CPAs. So unless we reference some requirements, we would have no oversight ability to take any action or to remove or to disqualify a CPA firm unless we also have statutory requirements.
Any further questions for Ms. Hall? I can sense one coming.
I just appreciate the work that you guys do. I put Mr. Trout was really helpful the other day in your absence. We missed you, though.
A lot.
But he was exemplary in your absence.
Thank you.
Good Thanks, work. Ms. Hall.
Thank you.
Is there anybody else in the room that would care to testify on this bill? We will now close. We have nobody online, so I will close public testimony and bring it back to the committee.
I will. Would you like to move this bill, Mr. Chair? I make a motion to move LS, or House Bill 170, version LS 0609/C from committee with any attached fiscal notes or amendments.
Seeing no opposition, this moves on to the next committee, which I believe is Finance.
Finance.